Thank you for listening to The Wonder of You with Lisa Gallas. When you are finished listening to this podcast, please visit our website at www.wonderofyou.org. Be the change you want to see in the world, a wonderful quote from Gandhi. We can all sit back and say, oh, this needs to change, that needs to change, and then wait for someone to actually do it. At this moment in time, that is how the majority of people are. Not because they're lazy, although some are, but because they are not sure what to do and how to go about doing it. When I embarked on this journey of being wide awake, spiritually speaking, in a human body, I realized that there was something seriously lacking in our psychology profession, and all I wanted to do was introduce the world of meditation, as I knew it, to anyone who felt they needed some help in life. Learning how not to be depressed and ill. I suffered from manic depression, now known as bipolar disorder, for the majority of my life. I was not diagnosed with it, but I do know what made me tick, at least from this current perspective. The only thing I was ever diagnosed with was post-traumatic stress syndrome by a psychologist I was seeing in 2000. I had serious bouts of rage and violence. I had attempted suicide 5 times in my life, starting at the age of 13. Actually, more than that, but those were the significant times where I actually took enough pills to get me very sick. I had gallbladder disease by the time I was 30, and when that area of my body was removed, I developed raging ulcers from hell in place of the gallbladder pain. I suffered from SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder, which made my winter depression, and trust me, I was depressed all the time, even worse. For those that are unfamiliar with this disorder, it's described like this. With seasonal affective disorder, fall's short days and long nights may trigger feelings of depression, lethargy, fatigue, and other problems. Don't brush this off as simply a case of the winter blues that you have to tough out on your own. Seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression, and it can severely impact your daily life. Trust me, I know that is absolutely true. Now, on top of that, to say insomnia plagued my life would be an understatement. That is the mind, though. It stays awake and amplifies the worry that is on one's mind. Of course, it's also the ego that's creating that worry. I spent 30 years in and out of psychologist's office, even admitted myself into a psychiatric hospital to try and figure out why I was no longer in love with my then husband. Emotionally, I was truly a mess. I must say this again, I've said it before in other postings, in other podcasts. God bless my children for having survived me. Every time I was in therapy, we rehashed my childhood over and over again. Blech. Let me tell you, not every sad experience, not every dysfunction is due to a less than pleasing childhood. Of course, I never knew any of that until I started to learn how to meditate and learn how to call on my incredibly loving beings that have guided and protected me through my human incarnation. And we all have those beings with us. I do want to say up front, I am grateful for the many therapists who talked me out of suicide. I also must thank Parents Anonymous for their incredible support in just allowing me to know that I was not the only angrily insane parent who loved their children more than life itself. Yet, who would slap a 5-month-old and leave hand marks on her precious face? Yes, I did that. I also immediately placed my children in temporary foster care for fear I would hurt them more. They were in for 30 days and I sought help. That's actually the first step I took was Parents Anonymous. That's a whole other story. When I read about a parent who has severely injured their child, I can totally understand how they could have done that. When one is out of control with the raging anger within them, nothing is impossible because you are truly out of control with yourself. Change comes through a Ouija board. At age 38, I was back into a severe depression. By now, my children's behavior went awry between my oldest finding drugs and my youngest finding thievery. I was at a point I knew something had to change, and change quickly. But how? Who knew that change would be coming through a Ouija board? But it did. The evening that I had with the Ouija board changed the rest of my life in such a profound way. It equally changed my children's lives in the most amazing, uplifting way. Of course, I knew none of this going in. All I knew is that from somewhere deep within me, I had to have a Ouija board now. That was on November 11, 2000. And it just happened to be the evening of a full moon. I made my own board with an amazing ease of use. An entity named Jill Cady started telling us of her past in Iceland in the 1600s. For 8 hours, Jill talked to us through a pudding cup and plastic board letters on my dining room table. She told me she had been with me for 5 years since my divorce, and her role was to, as she typed it out, protect you crash. Yeah, I lived the party life when I divorced my husband and made some really, really not so wise choices, such as driving and alcohol consumption. Not wise at all. Thank God for her presence. To think that there was an entity that I could not see that was assigned to me for 5 years at that time to protect me, I was boggled, really. I asked her why she was with me for all that time, and she simply told me, because he loves you. Of course, she typed it out. She pushed the planchette around to spell out, because he loves you. By now, we were about 7 hours into our Ouija board session, and I was getting rather sarcastic here. And at the time, I was still not sure if one of us was really pushing that little pudding cup around or that I was making all of this up. And I said out loud, again, sarcastically, "Oh, someone loves me? How nice. Who loves me?" And in my mind, as I was saying that, all I could think of was she was going to spell out God. Even though I grew up Catholic, my allegiance since I was a teeny little girl has always been with God, not to Jesus or his mom, though I like them too a lot. And much to my surprise, she spelled out, "Jesus loves you." Huh? What does he have to do with anything? Was this simply to prove I was not doing this pushing of the planchette of my own accord? Or did Jesus have something to do with making sure no one was killed in my DUI moments? As I pressed her on for an explanation of why she said Jesus instead of God, she simply spelled out, "Rest now." Oh, no! No, no, no. Granted, it was now 3 a.m. and we had been doing this for 8 straight hours. But you cannot leave me on a cliffhanger. I need more information. That was not going to happen on this life-changing evening. She stopped communicating, and the Ouija board grew still. Try as I might, I never got my homemade Ouija board to work again. I had to get online to figure out how to communicate with spirits. The only thing that I kept coming back to was meditation. Okay, I'm in. I want to talk to Jill again and get the rest of the story. Meditation helped me to realize the hell my mind was trapped in. Wow, anyone who says learning to meditate is easy lies. This has been the single most difficult journey I have ever embarked on. However, My desire to get the rest of the story from Jill put me on a determined path that I never, never would have embarked on otherwise. Trying to learn meditation really allowed me to see what sort of thoughts were on my mind. Oh my God, no wonder I was consistently depressed. My thoughts were always not nice. Worry, fear, more worry, bigger fear. That was the landscape of my mind. But breath by conscious breath, I wiped out those insidious thoughts to allow the flow of true spiritual communication to take place. It allowed my mind to awaken to a much greater reality, the reality I call spirit. Since I quit my job and had a lot of free time on my hands, I was trying to meditate up to 5 times a day. I would get so incredibly frustrated and have to get out of meditation. I'm telling you, those fears and worries were just like knocking around every time I took a breath. God knows, my mind was a train wreck in those times. And I would eventually try again later when I was not so frustrated. As I started to get control of my mind, I could feel my body was healing. My depression was lifting. I started to become very aware, consciously, of my anger and when I was about to have a detrimental eruption on my children. I meditated even more, sometimes up to 10 hours in a given day. I found an online spiritual forum that helped to hold my hand during those days, as well as help me understand the many amazing and sometimes startling things I was experiencing within meditation. And I am truly grateful to those folks. I find it funny that the only motivation I had in doing this really hard thing called meditation was to understand why Jesus had anything to do with Jill being there for me for 5 years. As I started to communicate with Jill and Ramus is my lifetime guide who had been with me this entire lifetime and then some, and we all have at least one or two, sometimes more, of these guides, and they move in and out of our lives as we move and change and evolve, that it no longer even mattered why Jesus was there. The only thing that started to matter to me was healing my mind, my body, and my life. I could feel the profound changes that were taking place. Jill and Ramus allowed me to see within myself the places that needed to be addressed to get out of victim mode and into, I feel blessed that these people were in my life mode. There is no part of our lives, no matter how painful they may have felt to move through, that have not been an incredible blessing to us. And the road is finding that blessing, and you'll find it through meditation. I started to really hit the core of why I was so incredibly dysfunctional. In my childhood, it really only amplified what I was already feeling from birth. However, finding this core took a little extra help. The Blessed Mother, for those non-Catholic, that's Jesus's mom, showed up in my meditations, and I was in such disbelief that she was present that I kept trying to send her away. I'd open and close my eyes, sure that the next time I closed my eyes, she would not be there. And I was absolutely sure I was making this part up. But every time I entered meditation, there she was saying one single phrase, "Lord, I am not worthy to receive you," over and over again. And then it hit me. My life started in the Catholic Church. My mother told me when I was a little girl, God lived in church. So even as a little one, I was 5 years old, I went to church every single week, oftentimes alone, just because that's where they said God lived. I loved God so much and just wanted to be wherever he was. And for those that are not Catholic, the above line, the Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, that is part of the communion prayer that is said every Sunday when you receive communion. Granted, I was little and you can't receive that until you're like 8 receive First Holy Communion, but you hear it over and over again. They tell every single person who's willing to open up their mouth for that little wafer. And I started to understand the root of my anger. The source of the dysfunction was less about my crazy childhood, but the belief that no matter what I did, I would never be worthy of God's love. And I truly love God. My childhood simply reinforced the feeling that no matter what I do, God cannot love me. I was raised in the foster system and by people willing to take me in, instilling in the little girl thoughts that if my own family didn't love me, why would God love me? However, the early beginning was setting me up for the rest of my life. When you live in the foster system and move in and out of families, you are forced to build ties to complete strangers. Today, I understand there is no such thing as a stranger, just a family member I am getting to know once again. A couple of days after releasing the unworthiness that my church instilled within me and the purging of that deep, deep hurt that flowed out in gallons of tears over days, the Blessed Mother appeared to me again. This time, though, I didn't try to force her out of my inner vision. Instead, I listened intensely, trying to understand, why is she back again? Everything you believe about yourself and the world around you is based on someone else's ideas about reality. This time, the Blessed Mother asked me to lay down all your beliefs so that you can be filled with the truth of spirit. Holy cow, Batman! That is close to impossible to do. In trying to do just that, erase all the things someone else told me about life, about myself, about my children, I started to realize that everything I believed about the world and myself came from what others told me. How, you know, even in therapy, I should be feeling this, I should be feeling that. How do you just wipe that out? After days of struggling to lay it all down, because I really wanted to do this, you know, think of it. After days of struggling to lay it all down and wipe out all what all of the others have told me about myself, my children, the world around me, I had no choice but to give up. I had no idea how to undo a lifetime of believing what others have said. And I did the only thing I could think of doing. I called on the energy of the Blessed Mother myself and simply stated with a heart that was so incredibly true, I'm willing to lay down all my beliefs, but I don't know how to do that. Please, please help me. To this day, I have no idea what she did or how. And truthfully, I don't care. All I know is that in a single instant, it was as if she took a gutting knife and went from the top of my chest down to the base of my abdomen and cut me open. A feeling that did not hurt, but it was weirdly uncomfortable. And I could feel things leaving me. All these things were just kind of like leaving my entire core. As soon as meditation was over, and I stood up to get my bearings, I felt so completely empty inside, hollow even. I had no sense of identity, no sense of my relationship to the world around me, and to say it was the strangest feeling as well as the most unpleasant feeling would be an understatement. However, it was the greatest gift I ever allowed myself to have. And I honor the Blessed Mother with that profound gift she gave me. From that day forward, I became a vessel for spiritual information to flow through me and out of me. I became so incredibly well, both physically and emotionally. All I wanted to do was let people know that there is a better way to get through life, one that is permanently life-changing and healing in every way. As you heal, all life around you changes and heals. My children were now the benefactors of my changes instead of what I had considered the victims of my dysfunction. Somewhere in the midst of my now growing, in number, spiritual team, which included Jesus, who had taught me and continues to teach me all I know to date about healing the energetic body and how to work with it, I simply told them I want to be able to knock on everyone's door and tell people there is a completely better way to be healed from depression, insomnia, sad, ulcers, and everything, complete and permanent, and to live in joy. My team would simply smile and say, "Healer, heal thyself." And my healing journey continued for the next couple of years. I do want to mention that I have been absolutely depression-free, sad-free for close to 8 years now. And I've been on this path for 9. Well, this is my 9th year. My ulcers have completely and utterly healed. And joy is the only thing I feel 24/7, no matter what appears to be happening around me. That is not to say that I don't have my challenges in life. God knows I do. But it doesn't take away from my joy. I just know that something bigger and grander is entering into my life, teaching what I learned. In March of 2003, 2.5 years after the start of my journey into healing in the most profound and complete way, I started a website. I started to share my stories, my experiences. People started to email me and ask me for help. I started to share with anyone who asked what I knew about meditation, how to effectively move around in this new and vast inner environment. I started to learn how to do what I referred to as email readings, connecting to a person's soul energy while still connected to their earth energy, kind of like in that place in between what we'll call heaven and earth, to see what they needed to address within themselves. They were never present. I just did this through email. My clientele grew from a few people a week to 25 to 30 people a week. And the majority of these people said I was spot on, which can I tell you how much it surprised me? Because I never was able to do that before. I did not know this kind of a connection could even take place. And they wanted to know how to start their healing process. And the email readings really focused around where a person is in dysfunction within and what is the best way to get them to move forward in the highest good of their own selves. And that gave birth to my next great adventure, the spiritual development course. This course gave me the most incredible privilege of experiencing people's healing and feeling their energy move from insecure and chaotic to assured and self-empowered. I was, and let me tell you, I continue to be humbled to be so close to anyone choosing to change within themselves. I know the path is hard, but oh my God, it is so, so well worth it. In teaching others how to heal, I learned so many ways of healing myself on a more profound level within. I started to learn healing outside of meditation. I started to become very sensitive to the vibrations of people, both on the computer, which is how my course started. It was a one-on-one internet course. And that trickled into being able to feel vibrations in person. I learned how to connect at the soul level of being to bring information forth from the soul aspect, all because people wanted to heal and I wanted to help show them how to be the change that they desired. And I am so incredibly grateful for every living being that has ever allowed me to connect with them and that continues to allow me to connect with them, both in the seen and the unseen worlds of life. My life has utterly changed and became enhanced by every single soul who ever sought me out. In helping others, I never realized how much I was helping myself until I started to look back over my shoulders of the path I was walking. As my soul agenda started to live out its purpose, my own personal life started changing by the minute. The grander my vision became, and let's just call that vision spiritually downloaded thoughts and ideas, the more my life changed, I changed locations at least 4 times in 3 years, from Vermont, which is when I left North Carolina, which is my awakening space. I moved to Virginia, then to Vermont, to Idaho, and to Iowa, and back into Virginia again. Each time, aligning myself with people who could see a greater vision, a community-centered healing slash sharing place, one that was solely brought together by spiritual insights instead of human agendas. One where a group of people, when one group of people disembarked because the vision seemed too big and too hard and they were caught up in the fear and the status quo, I was led elsewhere. I always had a choice. I didn't have to move. I didn't have to uproot my then 9, 10, 11-year-old child and continue on. Deep inside, I knew it was the greater thing. I didn't understand it. It's not until looking back over my own life's path did I realize exactly what was taking place. But when you go forward on trusting that inner intuition, it'll always lead you into amazing places. It wasn't until I came to visit my son in Virginia did it all start to come together. I never ever gave up on the idea that we could have a very, very healing, nurturing place that was centered in love and well-being. I just had to keep aligning with new people. I have the wisdom, the ability to hear spirit quite clearly. I just didn't have the money to make it happen. If I did, let me assure you, I would have never asked anyone for help. And that would have taken away from the community potential of coming together to create a shared vision. And on that note, I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to close this podcast and we're going to open up part 2 because this is now getting very long and you can take a little pause for the cause and I will see you on part 2. With love and so much incredible honor to each and every one of you. I love you. Namaste.